gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the lost toy of free speech. We've lost it. We're going to have to go retrace our steps until we find it again. It's got to be somewhere. I know. It's on RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. All right, today is our Monday show. We have with us Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's good to be here, my friend.
It is good to be here. It's very good. No, it's good to have you here.
And it's good that we're here and that we're not on pause. That's how we should have started the show. This is the show of free speech that isn't paused.
It's not on pause. Well, what is pause? Is there something that's paused?
Well, apparently, the Ukrainian counteroffensive has, over the last 24 hours, been put on pause. Apparently, that is it. The Ukrainian counteroffensive against the Russians has been paused. And this is according to the Daily Mail here in the UK.
That spring offensive that we've been hearing about for months, it's on pause.
Apparently, it is on pause. Apparently, this is... I'll read this today. This is the big headline in the Daily Mail. And this explains it better than my sort of trying to sum it up will. The headline reads, and I quote, Putin's suicide tank attack. Russia packs remote control tank with 6 tons of explosives and drives it up to Ukrainian soldiers before detonating it in massive fireball. Its counteroffensive is paused. Ukraine's much-anticipated counteroffensive has yielded a mixed response. Russia's dominance in the air is having a major impact on Ukraine's push. Putin also resorted to suicide tanks in a bid to restrict Ukrainian advances. So, yeah, and to read a bit more from the thing, it said new video footage from Donetsk shows a remote-controlled T-54 laden with explosives lumbering towards a Ukrainian trench this week. And you can see here that something is emerging, and what is emerging is a strange type of narrative from the press. Because when this conflict started, I believe it was about February of last year, so we're talking about a year and a half from the beginning of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, and from day one, the British press, especially the Daily Mail, and I really do wish I had sort of screen captured every one of these articles, because what's actually happened is pretty much like clockwork. There's been an article every week that has predicted that the Russians are always 2 weeks away from complete collapse. It's always 2 weeks away from the Russian regime completely collapsing and that being the end of the matter. You know, they were going to run out of fuel. They were going to have massive mutinies, there was going to be a coup in Moscow, Russian troops were all going to surrender and switch sides. All of these different things were said, but it was always 2 weeks. And one of the oddest assertions was that the Russians were going to run out of fuel, and in 2 weeks' time, they wouldn't be able to support the war effort anymore. And obviously, Russia has a massive reserve of natural gas and oil.
Where would the Russians get gas and oil? I mean, oh, yeah. I'm just reading. This is in my Microsoft news feed. Russia's losses since the beginning of the full-scale invasion have exceeded 220,000 troops, according to the Ukrainian military general staff. Okay. That's where we're getting our information from. It's also bizarre. We've been hearing over and over, like you say, Russia's about to they're about to run out of ammunition. They've been about to run out of ammunition for well over a year now. That they're losing really, really big. Ukraine's been winning so hard for such a long time, and you know all they can show is I think from since this so-called counteroffensive began, which was supposed to punch a giant hole in the Russian defense lines and whatnot, is maybe there is a little post office somewhere that the Ukrainians took with great casualties. I mean, the thing is, if the Ukrainians
you're not even joking, Patrick. I know that you're sort of saying that sort of tongue in cheek, no, but it's not even a joke, because it wasn't that long ago. I think it was a few days ago the British media were reporting exactly that, that somewhere in the Ukraine, a village, one village had been, one village apparently had been liberated.
Yeah, and the thing is, at what cost? This is the thing, at what cost? And you think I mean, it's not like the Russians were fighting to defend that village to the last man. They weren't. They wiped out huge numbers of Ukrainian troops in all this. And this whole business. So Douglas McGregor, I was listening to Douglas McGregor, who's been pretty accurate. I mean, he's been pretty spot on for a long, long time. And he was saying 150,000 or 157,000 Ukrainian troops. Well, then I looked down and I realized that the podcast I was listening to was several months old. the Ukrainians are just they're being decimated, and it's not funny. It's not funny. But the longer this whole narrative, this giant lie goes on that the Russians are losing and the Ukrainians are on the verge of victory, the more Ukrainians are going to be decimated, and they're just being sacrificed like lambs to the slaughter. We're going to have to discuss why. I mean, in whose interest, in pursuit of what goal are all of these tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men, maybe women and trannies too, I don't know, but certainly men going up to age 60 and probably older, they're all being slaughtered. And for what? At some point they can't hide the fact. I mean, at some point, like, the entire Ukrainian economy is collapsed, and they have no economy. All they are relying on is foreign aid. And at some point, the Russians are just going to, once they are done decimating the military, they're just going to do what they want with the country. And the Ukrainian, so-called Ukrainian leadership's going to go into exile. How does the Daily Mail or how does the British or American governments, how do they explain it then? I'm going to stop my rant there.
No, because you've actually taken me on to one of the things I wanted to talk about today. And this is very, very important. Because obviously, for us as nationalists, this war is very sad because you've got white Russians largely fighting against white Ukrainians and a wholesale slaughter of, people of European descent who are, tearing strips off each other, basically at the behest of the Judeo-American state, an American establishment which is overwhelmingly Jewish in its decision-making, at its decision-making core. Now, the interesting thing about this, though, is that from a nationalist perspective, some things at the end of it which may emerge as minor positives. I don't think those minor positives will ever offset the loss of life, or they certainly won't, but they are things that will be interesting for us here in the West. Now, the media has been running this sort of campaign of disinformation pretty much since day one of the invasion, and they're sort of disinformation campaign has been all about the losses Russia are taking, how quickly it will be for Russia to be defeated, how close to the brink Russia actually are, how great the Ukrainians are doing, what a world-beating army they are. And even when they've lost key sort of battles, even when the Ukrainians have been forced back, even when you had this dam being burst, and that was I believe it was the Ukrainians who did that. I don't believe that was the Russians. The Russians were advancing, and I believe the Ukrainians sent in a special squad to blow up that dam to halt the Russian advance. That's a desperation move. That's not something really attackers do. That's something defenders do in a last desperate ditch effort to repel, a force that's going to overwhelm them. It's akin to sort of what you would say would be the scorched earth policy at the end of the Second World War, where the Germans obviously knew they were going to lose. There was very little they could do at that point. And unfortunately for them, they had to do something. And what they did was destroy everything, you know, and sabotage infrastructure so that the Allies or the Soviets were rolling into scorched earth, into something that they couldn't use or benefit from themselves to further attack the ailing, you know, German state at the time. Now, I think that's pretty much what we're seeing here with things like the, you know, the attack on the dam. I don't believe the attack on the dam was anything to do with Russia. Russia were taking that ground. What would they have to benefit from blowing up the dam? You know, that would obviously cause them, you know, a huge logistical problem. It wouldn't cause any sort of logistical problems for the Ukrainians because they were departing that part of the Ukraine. Now, the interesting thing with all of this is that fundamentally, the Western media is going to be proved to be, yet again, absolute, abject liars. They're going to be proved to be, you know, the people who have been lying about all of this, relentlessly lying about all of this. And that's going to cause problems for them in a number of different ways, not least because after after this conflict concludes, it's going to be another case where the public are going to be saying to themselves, well, weren't we being told for years that Russia only had 2 weeks left? What have we been told? It's been, you know, this has been all nonsense, and it will reduce people's dependency on the mainstream media because their belief in it will be shaken. And at that point, it is going to be very, very interesting to see how the mainstream media attempt to paint this as something that, you know, they weren't lying about. How are they going to go to the public and say, well, actually, we weren't lying. This wasn't all just mad propaganda. We were on the money. I don't think they'll be able to do that. I think it'll make them look very silly. But I think it will have a dramatic effect. And we're seeing that in the Daily Mail comments section already with the kind of things, you know, people are saying. If you go to the best rated comments, the second best rated comment says, folks, Russia is taking on the entire West and winning. Sooner rather than later, the Western media is going to have to tell you the truth, or at least more than they are now. And that's a very interesting take, especially for it to be the second best rated comment on there. The third best rated comment is, the war must be going badly for Ukraine if Western propaganda even admits that the Kiev regime are losing heavy armor and have needed to pause their so-called counteroffensive against the Russians. And this is what, and here's another really, really interesting thing. Somebody's written this. How different is this to a powerful missile fired from a jet? Don't gaslight us. Report fairly. So you can actually see here people are saying, well, so what if a tank's being driven up to the front line and detonated? What's the difference in a missile or you know, or a drone? You know, somebody else has written, I can't believe that one explosion halted a counteroffensive. They must have run out of steam, and that was the icing on the cake as far as Russia is concerned. Perhaps now the Ukrainians will talk. Russia has been calling for talks for more than a week. It is as though America doesn't want to stop this. And then somebody has also pointed out that the Ukrainians did this, people would be applauding. This is war. It should be no surprise that Putin will do anything to win. Never underestimate Russia. And it goes on and on and on. People saying things like, this is complete insanity. The only people who are going to benefit are BlackRock. Another comment says, so remote detonations are ISIS style. I guess predator drones are too. And these are the best rated comments. So normal people are rounding here on the Daily Mail, calling out the Western propaganda. And I think this is all very interesting. And not only do I think it's interesting, but I actually think it's very, very important that people are actually doing this, that people are actually going to these websites and calling out the liars in the mainstream media. Because these liars in the mainstream media have been for, you know, a year and a half feeding people all this crap about what's going on in the Ukraine. And you and I have obviously been pushing back against it. You and I have been, you know, two of the people who have routinely said that this war isn't going the way they're saying, and that fundamentally it looks most likely that, you know, the Ukrainians would lose. Now, when it comes down to it, that appears to be happening. I mean, it's not done and dusted yet, I'm sure, and I'm sure there will still be more fighting. But how long do you feel this can go on for before the Ukrainians are pressed into talking, to at least opening some sort of you know, contact with the Russians? Because I don't think it can last. They obviously can't keep this going, can they? They can't keep this going. This can't be something that carries on. Sooner or later, with more ground being lost, with the Russians clearly advancing, with the counteroffensive completely stalled or paused, if it ever got started, to be honest, because there's been huge reports of massive amounts of British and German and even American armour being captured by the Russians. And you and I said that would happen as well. We said, and this was quite an interesting take by both of us, we both said that if they carry on with this, we said that the eventually, you know, all these people who are being given this armor wouldn't be able to actually use that armor properly. And we said they wouldn't be able to use that armor properly because fundamentally learning how to drive one of these sort of Challenger tanks or Leopard 2 tanks, you don't just learn that overnight. It's not something you can just be given a crash course in. It's not like you're driving around a little, you know, a little car that a woman might drive to go to and from the shops every week. That's not what these things are. These are very, very complex, heavily engineered pieces of kit. And because of that, the people who are trained to drive them have extensive training. You can't just throw these onto the battlefield and expect any, you know, Joe public to jump behind the wheel and start, you know, whipping them around the battlefield, you know, like it's a computer game, can you?
Right. And that's the question. How long can this possibly go on? And, you know, you can talk about Russia capturing ground, but Russia's not even trying to capture ground. Their main focus is on destroying the Ukrainian military, which is very sad because the Ukrainian military is largely people. It's made out of people, like Soylent Green. It's made out of people. But they're destroying the Ukrainian military, and they're doing it very effectively. And changing the colors on the map is not their prime concern right now, because they can always take back territory if they have a strategic withdrawal from somewhere. They can always take it back. Ukraine's never taking back its lost soldiers. That's the thing that people really have to get through their head. And Ukraine has gone through so many soldiers, and so you know, even if Ukraine can keep conscripting men off the streets and maybe even women, they can, how long can they keep doing that? The West can pump weapons in, but the West does not have the same military industrial capacity that Russia does with its support from China and other countries. The NATO is outgunned. They really are outgunned. And so
well, what I'll say with that, it's interesting you say NATO are outgunned. Now, I'm not sure that NATO are outgunned in terms of materials, but where NATO have lost, and this is what I found the really interesting thing ever, anyway, I think where NATO have really lost this is they are throwing resources at an army that has been severely depleted, is now a conscription army, and it's full of not only conscripts, which isn't the best way to run an army, obviously, conscription, but it's also full of weird, LARPy, oddball misfits that have travelled from all over the world to get involved. Now, some of these people are do-gooders. Some of them are thrill-seekers. Some of them are, you know, just fantasists who think being involved in these things would be cool or fun. Some of them will be poor saps who have bought everything that the Western media has fed them. So they will literally think, you know, there's something out of Star Wars, you know, they're going to go and join the Rebel Alliance and fight against the evil Russian Putin Empire kind of thing. But when you actually boil all this down, these people are deluded fools. The media has fed them a load of lies, and now they're probably going to go and lose their lives as well, because this isn't a computer game. This isn't what the press have been selling people. This is real war. This is real death. This is real loss of life. This is people, you know, getting their legs and arms blown off, losing their eyes. You know, this is young men never returning home. And I think when you look at the way the Western media has sold this, that it was all fun and games and the Ruskies were on the run, people thought these young men will have thought that they were signing up to a situation where they were going along.
Along. you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
And I think when you look at the way the Western media has sold this, that it was all fun and games and the Ruskies were on the run. People thought they were, these young men will have thought that they were signing up to a situation where they were going along and giving it that final push. You know, Russia was only 2 weeks away from collapsing, Patrick. You may have heard that. And, you know, if you think you're signing up to that, well, you're going to get a bloody big shock, aren't you? You're going to get a bloody big shock when you get there and you realize the army you're fighting aren't this ragtag bunch of, you know, surrender monkey misfits that are just ready to wave the white flag as soon as you roll over the horizon in the Challenger tank that you learned to drive 2 weeks ago, just like it was a video game. It's very sad. These people are going to get slaughtered. And we said that. In fact, I actually made a video at the time when all this was sort of happening. And I called it, you know, Walter Mitty goes to the Ukraine to die. And I think that is what's happened. I think you've got all these sad Walter Mitty types who think they're going to go to the Ukraine. They think they're going to turn up there, give the Russians a whooping. And after they've given the Russians a whooping, there's going to be some, you know, busty, nubile Ukrainian beauty who's going to be like, hey, you liberated my nation. And they're going to jump into the arms of this woman and their life's going to be made. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's complete fantasy. I think that it's a fantasy sold to silly young men by the West. And those sort of people are not going to make good soldiers. They're not going to be the kind of people who get onto the battlefield and make a difference. In fact, it's often better not to have those people fighting, Because they're the kind of people that when it does come on top, because they've got little to no military training, because they actually don't know what they're doing whatsoever, and because they've only ever played video games, when something does start kicking off for realsies, you know, in the real world, on the battlefield, when you're cold and wet and it's dark and those tracer rounds are whizzing over your head, they are the people who drop their weapons and run. And there was a case quite a while back now of a training facility, a Ukrainian training facility, that was absolutely filled with international recruits. And it was basically destroyed by Russia. And somebody who got away from that and survived the blast just said, you know, it was just everywhere around him was death. He was surrounded by death. He'd never seen anything like that. He never wanted to see anything like that again. He thanked his lucky stars that he had somehow miraculously, I think it was by dint of luck, survived the blast, because he hadn't been in the building, you know, whether he'd gone back to where he was sleeping to get a lighter, or, you know, to grab his phone, or he'd gone away from where all these people were in the training building. And apparently, if I remember the report correctly, the reason Russia knew that this was some international sort of mercenary training facility is because everyone was texting from there. So, you know, they'd picked up all this activity from people's phones, what people were saying, these people thinking they were going to go there to live out this fantasy. And they all tragically died. And again, Western media, with blood on their hands, selling these lies to deluded Western fools who believe everything they read in places like the Daily Mail. But now, where is there to go with this? What is there to say? Well, I think there's probably a few things to say. And the most important thing to say is that the media has lied to people. The media has let people down. And the media has sent young men to their deaths. But where do we go after this? Do you think NATO, how do the media save face? And how do NATO save face?
So that's not going to be easy. With the Iraq War, 2003, before the war, you had Condoleezza Rice, who at the time was a national security advisor, and she was saying, well, we can't let, what was it? Something be a mushroom cloud. We can't let the, oh, what was it? The line in the sand be a mushroom cloud. I can't remember what it was, but she was implying that Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. And Colin Powell went to the UN Security Council with a little vial of what was supposedly some sort of chemical thing. You had the Americans occupy the entire country, and their weapons inspectors like Scott Ritter had full access to everywhere. Well, actually, Scott Ritter had full access to everywhere even before the invasion as part of the UN weapons inspections. They couldn't find anything. There was no weapons of mass destruction. And so they managed to say, well, the intelligence was bad. We had bad intelligence. And somehow everybody was able to move on. But the thing is, this war is much more consequential than the Iraq war. So with this war, you're having this is kind of a crude way to say it, but the pipe through which Germany passes its gas has been ruptured. That's pretty bad. Germany has been buggered, is what they have been, and the economy is being deindustrialized, and people across Europe are they're being really adversely impacted, which is not something that happened after the Iraq war. So how do you then just say, oh, well, the intelligence was bad, really? And where was that intelligence coming from? And shouldn't you people know about it? You can't tell the difference between this intelligence. So the question, it links up with the question you asked before about how long can this go on? I don't know how long it can go on. I'm not a military expert. I have the feeling that maybe it could go on.
Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, flames of passion roses.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You are my paradise completed.
You can't tell the difference between this intelligence. So the question, it links up with the question you asked before about how long can this go on. I don't know how long it can go on. I'm not a military expert. I have the feeling that maybe it could go on for a while, but also it could fall apart at any time. Obviously, Zelensky has been spending an awful lot of time outside of his country. Maybe there are reasons for that. There must be. I mean, with all these dead Ukrainian soldiers, what could morale possibly be like in the Ukrainian army? At what point are there mass mutinies? I honestly would have expected it already, but still things are very, very bad. And so why continue this? Well, if you're Zelensky or people in the government, I mean, you've pointed out that people in wartime can certainly enrich themselves. There's all of this money coming into their hands in order to prop up the Ukrainian economy. There are all these weapons that could potentially be sold. So there could be massive profiteering. And the longer this goes on, the people in a position to profiteer are going to be able to profit. One other thing, before I kick it back to you, one other thing is that in the United States, which has been directing this whole thing, the people in charge don't have a way of a reverse gear. They don't have an off ramp. They can't back out of this. For them, people in the Biden State Department, in the Biden administration, if they can avoid facing reality until after November 2024, which is a year and a half away, it's still a ways away, but if they could somehow avoid the obvious collapse and having to face a public that has seen through their lies, maybe with enough vote rigging and whatnot, they can survive and get another four-year term. And I think that is playing into people's calculus, because it's insane. There's no way. I mean, there's no way they're going to prevail. And at some point, like you're saying, the truth is going to be obvious to a lot more people than it is now. I mean, some people will probably never admit the truth. But Mark Twain said it's easier to fool somebody than it is to convince them they've been fooled. And I would say it's easier to convince somebody they've been fooled than to get them to admit they've been fooled. But the one caveat is sometimes people who have been fooled don't have to admit that they were fooled, and they can pretend they were never fooled in the first place. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, I'm not going to completely counter signal you, but I am going to bring up something that struck me during what you were saying. I think this is pretty damn important, so bear with me. There's a major difference between the Iraq war and the conflict in the Ukraine. And the difference is, in the Iraq war, there were huge American losses. Yes, it destabilized the whole region. Yes, it was all based on lies. Yes, America admitted in the end that it was based on lies. But despite all of that, America, NATO, the coalition forces, whatever you want to call it, they came out victorious. America was still the winner in that. America, despite being in the wrong, despite wasting trillions of dollars, despite thousands of Americans dying, despite a country being flattened, despite potentially up to 1 million Iraqi civilians dying, there was still at the end of it the ability, no matter how weak this is, but there was still the ability to say America won. The Americans came out as the winners. However, in this particular conflict, the one that we're talking about today, that will be very different. There isn't going to be any way for them to say, we got it wrong, but at least we still won. We got it wrong. Millions of people died, but we still won this one, guys. You know, this was still a win. This was still a big win for the USA. You know, we did it. We got rid of Saddam. That was a win in itself. And at the end of the day, America still prevailed. What is going to be the final outcome of this? Well, it's going to be a bruising and humiliating defeat. And I would say that the only thing that is a saving grace in this particular situation is that actually America hasn't had boots on the ground. That America hasn't, America have thrown, billions and billions and billions of this, but they haven't actually had boots on the ground. And I think that's going to be the only thing that they'll be able to say at the end. Well, that is a face saver. But all that technology is gone. All that money has been spent. And the other huge thing with all this technology that's gone there, the American, the British and the German technology, is not only is that a loss to the Americans, the British and the Germans, but it's a huge gain to the Russians. Now, I know there's a lot of back and forth that goes on between, which force has actually got the best technology. Is it actually the Russians? Do the Russians with their hypersonic missiles have something that the Americans don't have? Are the Russian Armata tanks really that great? Are the Russian tanks basically rolling scrap because they are useless compared to these incredible German and British and American vehicles? But the issue is now that what we will actually have is a situation where that doesn't matter anymore, because whatever has transpired on that battlefield, and we don't know for sure how well any of these vehicles behaved or stacked up against each other, we don't know that for sure, because fundamentally we're not there and we don't have access to all the information. But what we do know is that the Russians will now have either heavily damaged or, in fact, completely intact versions of the Leopard 2, the Challenger, and the Abrams. And at that point, you're entering a very, very interesting new world, a new world where Russia has all of the technological advancements that the West has. And if Russia has all of the technological advancements that the West has, it is highly likely that so do China and potentially Iran or other BRICS nations, because Russia are going to use the technology they have captured as not only a massive bonus for themselves, but most likely as a bargaining chip that other nations will be interested in.
So, and then, you know, on top of all of that, this past week you had in St. Petersburg, the annual St. Petersburg Economic Forum, and it was extremely well intended. And what I've been saying from the beginning, and a lot of people agree with this, is that this war, maneuvering Russia into a war, wasn't really aimed at getting it defeated on the battlefield per se. It was aimed at galvanizing world opinion against Russia so that you could have these unprecedented economic sanctions bring down the Russian economy and the government. And that's clearly failed. And this economic summit in St. Petersburg was extremely well attended. You had heads of states coming, and Putin was extremely well received. The Russian Central Bank, which had actually somewhat more pessimistic projections about the Russian economy than did, I think, even the IMF, it's been upgrading its projections. The Russian economy is actually growing, whereas European economies are in recession. America's probably going into recession. The whole strategy has failed. But, you know, people like Victoria Nuland, there's no future for her if she admits defeat. So they're just going to keep up with this fake narrative as long as they can. But the world is changing, and you're getting a realignment in the world around Russia and China. It was funny. I was listening to New York Times columnist who I really despise. His name is Thomas Friedman. He's one of these people who has promoted wars all over the place. But he was having a conversation in front of an audience with some other guy who I'd never heard of. But the other guy was talking about the rise and falls of empires. And from what they were talking about, they seem to have an acknowledgement that the American empire is falling. And while they want to pretend that Russia is making some giant mistake, that this was some calamitous mistake, but they still see China as emerging victorious. And really, it's a Russia-China axis that's emerging. Russia's position in the world has been very much boosted by this, and so has China. And you know, the much vaunted international community that we always hear about, when you get down to it, it's just America, Canada, Australia, you know, Europe and Japan, and the rest of the world, which is most of the world, is not on board.
Well, that's the other thing. We talk about the countries that are all going to be very happy about this, but there also might be a lot more countries that are quietly celebrating. So often when these things happen, you have those who sort of jump onto their chairs with their arms in the air, you know, as if they've just sort of, you know, seen their team score, you know, a last minute wonder goal in the World Cup final. But then there's also people who sit there sort of rubbing their chin, and quietly they are very, very happy with what they've just seen. They are quietly very, very pleased with the situation at hand. And I think what we're going to be seeing here is many people who are quietly, you know, very, very pleased with this and walk away with a completely different, you know, perspective of the world and willingness to work with Russia, willingness to work, you know, with this new, you know, emerging group of nations which have this this power. And that's going to be something that for a lot of people is going to lead to, you know, well, for a lot of nations, is going to lead to huge change. You know, whatever America say publicly, I mean, people might even agree with America publicly. You might have, you know, a lot of nations who have previously been, you know, on side with America that say, oh, no, yeah, of course, we're still with you, America. We're still on your side. We know you're still the boss. They might be saying that publicly, but whether they're saying that behind closed doors and whether they subtly realign themselves, that's another thing altogether. Now, obviously, I'm not expecting things to simply shift overnight. I'm not, you know, suggesting that anything crazy will happen, like, you know, within 5 minutes, you know, everything will completely change and the world will look different and you know, everything will be redrawn and you know, the composition of world power will just flip like a switch. But what I am saying is this will lead to subtle underlying shifts that further this shift away from Washington towards Beijing and Moscow. And I don't think there's anything that America can do about it. And this is the interesting thing. Despite this causing huge problems for America and for the Judeo-American state, and you might disagree with me on this, but I doubt people like Victoria Nuland actually care. Because I don't, you know, she doesn't care about America. She doesn't really care about, you know, America as a nation or, you know, the American people. She cares about herself, you know, profit, her goals. And I should imagine what you will see after this is a massive push by Israel, particularly, to court Russia. And this will see, this will be very embarrassing for the American state, because the American state are going to look on and see their greatest ally basically brown-nosing to Vladimir Putin, because they are not going to want to see Israel left out of this new world order. We call, obviously, America the new world order. Well, this is going to be a new world order, isn't it? Because it's going to be post-America as the world superpower.
Well, and regarding Israel, you've had changes of the guard in Israel. You got Netanyahu is back in power now. When this broke out, you had this anti-Netanyahu coalition. And I guess in March, Naftali Bennett was still the prime minister of Israel. And he said publicly that in March, when Turkey was mediating talks between Russian and Ukrainian officials aimed at ending this conflict, that there was a near agreement. The two sides were exchanging proposals and they were getting close, and that the negotiations stopped, according to Naftali Bennett, who was kind of informally part of it. They stopped because Washington, I guess via Boris Johnson, sent Ukraine the message, don't negotiate. You gotta fight. You can't negotiate. And according to Naftali Bennett, it was, at least in part, to send a signal to China, right? That if Russia could have like a short 3 or 4 week invasion of Ukraine and then get what it wants, what's that going to say to China? So in order to send a message to China, Ukraine would have to keep on fighting. Whether that's 100% accurate or not, that seems to be what Naftali Bennett, the prime minister last year of Israel, is saying. And so somebody like that, Naftali Bennett, I believe, is from the former Soviet Union. A lot of these people have connections. They've been having good business relations with Russia. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You are very likely to see the Israelis thinking, you know, when the Israelis think what's good for the Jews, they mean what's good for the Jews in Israel. And the Jews in Israel really don't have 100% the same interests as the Jews in America. And I think a lot of them, they're geographically close to Russia. So many of them were born in Russia and have connections there and do business there. And they are likely to adjust and adapt to the new situation, you know, for better or for worse. So I think you're right on that.
So we could be seeing, as I say, America's star descending, and also these, you know, military superpowers like Russia and China both being significantly upgraded in terms of their ability to build and maintain very, very advanced technological weapons and armor that they previously didn't have the capacity to create. And we know what China do. China, I see China not as inventors, but very much as innovators. And inventors and innovators are very different. An inventor is somebody who comes up with an idea. An innovator is often somebody who takes an existing invention, looks at it, tinkers with it, and finds a way to make it slightly better, or to produce it more cheaply, or to take it to market in a new and very interesting way. And I see the Chinese as innovators when it comes to manufacturing. So they've often taken things that are very...
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
And finds a way to make it slightly better, or to produce it more cheaply, or to take it to market in a new and very interesting way. And I see the Chinese as innovators when it comes to manufacturing. So they've often taken things that Americans or the British came up with then produce them at a better cost, in a, you know, a much more affordable fashion. And people say, oh, well, you know, but they're not as good as if it had been made here in the UK. And I think there is some merit to that, depending on the product you're talking about. But what is very interesting here is I think if you put things like the Challenger tanks or the Leopard 2s or the Abrams in the hands of the Chinese, which is what's going to be happening over the next year, they are going to look at them through the eyes of innovation and say, what have the Americans and the British and the Germans got that we want? And how can we take what they've got, produce it more cheaply, and potentially add several little improvements to it to make it our own and to make it more effective against the British, the Germans and the Americans? And that's a very dangerous position for the Americans to be in. I mean, there's always that joke, isn't there, that sort of America spends billions developing a product only for China to sort of rip it off and sell it back to the Americans at a fraction of the cost, but without any of the R&D. And I think that's essentially what could be happening here when you look at the tanks, the weapons, you know, and the advanced technology that's been pumped into the Ukraine. And I think this was quite interesting. I can't remember where I read this, so I can't cite this. And I don't know if you've read anything like this. But one of the objections that certain people made at one juncture about giving advanced aircraft and tanks to the Ukraine was, what happens if they get captured? What happens if an aircraft or a missile or a drone or a tank gets shot down or immobilized, and the Russians get it on the, you know, on a flatbed truck and get it out of there and do a full analysis of the technology? And that was something that I can't remember who raised it, and I can't remember where I read about it. And as I say, if you've read about it too and you can corroborate what I'm saying, that'd be great. If you haven't, well, you haven't. But I think that is now definitely coming to pass. Anyone who had those fears will now be saying, well, this was something we were worried about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can't specifically say I read this, somebody say this or that, but it's definitely the type of thing that some people have talked about and been concerned about. But we're at the end of our time for today. I want to thank you so much for joining me, Mark. Oh,
well, thank you so much for having me here, mate.
Where can people find your work, and what would they find if they went looking right now?
Well, if you find me, I'll be on Odyssey. And that's the best place to find me if you're looking for videos. And my latest video is called Politicians Unite to Support Baby Killer. And this is about a woman who already had three children who illegally procured abortion pills in order to kill her 34 to 38 weeks pregnant when she took these pills. And she's been jailed for it, which she should have been jailed for. It's absolutely disgusting. But all the politicians in Britain are coming together to support her and say how wonderful she is and that she's great and that this shouldn't have been happening to her and that she's the real victim in all this. So go and check that out. But also check out all my other videos on the platform, because I've got lots, and that's the best place to find me.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Google Radio.
Broadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the
cool
United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. Yeah. The dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.